close your eyes for just a moment, would you say to the Lord from your heart silently, would you say, Lord, please speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight, filled or controlled completely with your Spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, I trust everyone has this sheet. This is just, I really scared some of you starting out. You thought it was going to be a test, and I told you they were going to be graded. It's actually not a test. It's just a help, hopefully tonight, to fill in the blank and to follow the outline. Tonight, obviously, from the title on the top of the page, what does the Lord expect from us? What does the Lord expect from us? Now, in life, there's certain things that we're taught that we should expect other people to do. For instance, if the preacher tells a joke, whether it's a good joke or just kind of, it's not that funny, but the expectation is for the congregation to laugh, right? I mean, that's expectation. You say, I don't know, preacher, you're just not a very good joke teller. You're right, but the expectation is to laugh when someone tells a joke. Now, if someone does this, what do you do? You hopefully will smile back, right? That's kind of an expectation. Now, let me demonstrate here with John. Now, if I do this, what's expected? Put out your hand. Now, sometimes people are like, yeah, that's kind of a sign probably something's wrong there, but they don't always hold out their hand to shake. Now, if I do this, what's the expectation? High five. High five, right? So there are certain expectations that we have in life from one another. If someone waves, usually, come on, Debbie, wave. Okay, there you go. Come on, get with it. Okay, we're supposed to wave. If someone does something you approve of or agree with, if you hear a beautiful song, you want to, or maybe like, yeah, praise the Lord, or amen to that, or something. It's an expectation. Let me ask you a question. Does God have certain expectations of us? I would say yes. Do we disappoint him all the time? I would say yes. Do we have a ways to go on that? I would say yes. But what we're going to do, we're going to look at a simple psalm tonight, Psalm 100. It's a psalm of thanks. My Bible calls it a psalm of praise, or then there's a little note, it says, or a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, they use this, from what I understand, in the temple as they worship God, as they offered their sacrifices of praise to God. They would use this psalm, and they would recite this psalm, or someone up front would read this psalm. Very familiar psalm, but I want you to think, as I read it first of all, I want you to think about all the good things about God. I want you to think about, as we read it, all the good things that's mentioned about God in these few short verses. Verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, I'd be hard-pressed to find five verses that say so much in all of the Bible. Isn't it cram-packed? The first thing we're going to look at tonight, as you see in your outline, the Lord is dot, dot, dot. We're going to look at how good our God is. First of all, if you want to fill in the blank there, A, the Lord is God. Look at verse 3. It says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now, those of us in the New Testament that know the Lord is our Savior, we better know that our Lord is God. He is sovereign. He is powerful. He is over everything. Aren't you glad about that? I say it quite often. I am thankful that God is not one of those little, tiny, wimpy little gods, you know, that you could just put, like, on your mantle, this little tiny figurine on there. He is, ain't he cute? No, it's not that. Our God is powerful. Our God is God of the universe. Our God keeps the planets in line. Our God keeps the sun coming up, so to speak. Our God keeps everything working the way it is. It's kind of hysterical to me that people are worried about our planet. Oh, we're going to do something to mess up our planet. I tell you, our planet is not going to be dissolved and burned up until God himself burns it up. So we should be good stewards of the planet that God gave to us, but it's not our responsibility. You see, a lot of people are on the fringes doing all kind of whacked out things and thinking all kind of whacked out things because their worldview is not based upon the Word of God. Now, the Word of God tells us the world is going to burn up, but it's not going to be until the Lord says so. Remember when Noah got off the ark, it basically said, you know, seed time and harvest seasons are going to keep on until the Lord decides it's time. So again, be good stewards, but don't sit there and panic like, oh, I'm just scared for my kids and my grandkids and my great. There's not going to be any planet. No, the planet's going to be here as long as God is around, and he is around, and our Lord is God, and our Lord is forever, and our God is always over everything. He's that kind of God. So first of all, the Lord is God, and I'm very thankful for that. Again, I'm thankful that he is sovereign God. He is over everything. Now, as we kind of alluded to this morning, there are some people that call other things gods, and they look to other people and say they're gods, but the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible, is the only true God. We were watching, what was that on? I think it was on Fox News, and I don't watch a whole lot of Fox News, but they had it on, and they were talking about how that under the current administration, the emphasis on faith and serving God, and they had two guys. It was the one guy that works for Fox, the black guy, kind of a husky, seemed like a big guy, and he had two preachers. One of them is the preacher down at Dallas First Baptist, Jeffers, I believe, and the other one I wasn't really that familiar with, so I can't give you his name, but he was with CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. That's where Pat Robertson used to be. And they both were very solid, and the commentator was saying something like this: you know what, you know, it's good to see that it seems like, I don't know if he phrased it quite like, I'm just paraphrasing it, but it's good to see that, you know, there's an emphasis on God, and that there is power, and there's something beyond us that created everything. And then eventually, when he opened it up to the other two, like for the last comment, and Pastor Jeffers, who is a Baptist pastor, First Baptist in Dallas, he said something like this. I believe it's Jeffers and not Jeffries, but he said something like this: well, the key is that we worship the God of the Bible, the one true God, and we come to faith in him through Jesus Christ. I'm like, yeah, amen. We about started shouting hallelujah, didn't we, Jason? We were watching that together. So you see, it's important to know that the Lord is God. He is over everything. He is sovereign. The second one now, this is a big one too, and you can get a lot of gripes from a lot of people on this one. Notice what it says: the Lord is creator. Notice what it says: know ye that the Lord, he is God. Verse 3, it is he that, now listen, if there's any of these words you don't get, you let me know, okay? It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Now, those aren't big words. Those aren't theological terms. It just simply says, he is creator. He is creator. We didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't evolve. You know, I was so smart and brilliant, I have evolved. No, I haven't. I was created by God in the very image of God. I'm thankful, aren't you, that the Lord is creator. As I've said many times, it takes less faith to believe Genesis chapter 1 and 2 about the creation than it does some of these weird, whacked out evolution theories. And as they say, the missing link is still missing, and it's always going to be missing because it's not there. I'm thankful, aren't you? Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
I'm thankful that our God is creator God. I don't have to listen to, just think about it for a minute. Where are you going to get your theory or your basis of creation? Some yahoo that's got some advanced degree from some school that doesn't know God? Or are you going to get it from God himself? It says there was six literal days. There's no gap in the theory here. There is no gap. There was six literal days. God created in six literal 24-hour days everything that is, including mankind. That's huge. I'm telling you, if you can't get creation right, you're probably not going to get hardly anything else right because your very foundation is not strong, is not stable. I know Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis, that we use their VBS material. Some of our classes use their Sunday school material. They're real big. If you don't get the first, 16 chapters of Genesis right, you're not going to get the rest of it right either. So I'm thankful the Lord is not only God, second blank, the Lord is creator. Creator. You know, I'm really tickled to death. I don't have to stay up, and I'm sure Tim Cochran is as well, that we don't have to stay up in the middle of the night thinking, I wonder how I got here. You know, I can tell that would hurt Tim's brain, I believe. I know it strained my brain as I tried to figure that out. I don't have to worry about that part. That part's already been answered. I mean, there's some things that I'm sure I can think and strain my brain on about what God may want me to do and how I can serve him better and things like that, but creation's not one of them. It's settled. It's been settled about 6,000 years ago, and that's good enough for me. Is that good enough for you? The Lord is God. The Lord is creator. Thirdly, in verse 3 also, the Lord is shepherd. Shepherd. You know, could someone quote to me Psalm 23, verse 1? Okay, this side lagged a little behind this side, but you both all got it, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, we got a whole lot of Christians are wanting for a whole lot of stuff that they really don't need in the first place. They need to go back to the first part of that verse, the Lord is my shepherd. He's all that I need. He's all that I want. I'm going to follow him and quit seeking after what I say or the world says I need. I'm going to serve the Lord. It says in verse 3, it says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know what that means? That means God is our shepherd. Shepherd. I don't know a whole lot about sheep. I've been told they're dumber than dirt. That's pretty much the reason, I guess, we as Christians are likened to sheep quite often, right? The sheep of his pasture. That's us. Because sometimes we get it wrong. More than not, we get it wrong and we go astray and we don't know what we're doing. We need the shepherd to lead us. But you think about it for a moment. Again, I'm thankful for our God and the way he is. Because he could have been, you know, God, sovereign God, and putting everything in place. He could have been God and sovereign God and made all of us and said, now there you go. Figure it out yourself. That's not the way our God is. Our God goes a step further and says, guess what? You need some direction? I'm the good shepherd. I'm the great shepherd. I will lead you through all things. All you got to do is follow my leadership. Isn't that cool that our God is not a distant God way off somewhere that we send smoke signals to or try to get in contact by sending, you know, Green Bank, you know, West Virginia? That's kind of a fascinating place, but I got to tell you, I don't completely get all that. And we're sending signals out, and sometimes we'll get signals back. I don't know if they mean anything or not. I guess they're trying to figure it out, whether there's life anywhere else. And I'm sure there's some useful parts of it, too. But you know what? Our God could be distant like that. We're sending out signals. Are you out there, God? He says, hey, yeah, I'm out here. Just read my Bible. You know I'm here. You know I'm going to lead you. And from what I gather, shepherds, now they'll do anything for the sheep to protect the sheep. I mean, even die for the sheep? Isn't that what our God did through his son Jesus? He died for his sheep because we sheep weren't going to make it to heaven. We couldn't keep the law. We couldn't be good enough, but there had to be an ultimate sacrifice. So I'm thankful that he's shepherd. So the Lord is God, the Lord is creator, the Lord is shepherd. Next one's a good one too, in quotes, good, pardon the pun. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is what? Good, good. You know what? There's nothing bad about God at all. He's not, you know, he's not 75% good and 25% bad. He's not even 99% good and 1% bad. He is 100% good. His very nature is good, right? You know, if you eat healthy, some of the stuff you eat is not that good, right? You say, I'm eating healthy, but it's not very good. Let me tell you, if you're serving the Lord and you know the Lord is your Savior, can I tell you that He is all good? There's not a bad, you know, and humans sometimes will let us down. You know, I used to be in, I've learned a little bit. I remember the first church I pastored, someone was there and he had a job and it seemed like he either got fired or got laid off or something. And he just complained about all this, that, and the other. You know, that company's terrible and they're doing all this, that, and the other. And then later on, I got to know him a little bit better and I kind of figured out, I think, you know, I think there's probably some, not necessarily some good stuff in your life either. And maybe you're not the best worker in the world. And, you know, I kind of connected the dots a little bit. So people can disappoint us because they're not all good. But let me tell you, our God is all good. You can look all day. You can look all night. You can look 24/7, 365. You can look for the rest of your life at anything bad about God and you're not going to find it. I know it's hard to believe, but even Amy's not 100% good over there. She's 99, 44, 100, but I'm just... Moving on rather quickly. The Lord is God. The Lord is creator. The Lord is shepherd. The Lord is good. Number 5 there, under next to the letter E. The Lord is merciful. Merciful. Notice, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. You know, those are both pretty key terms. His mercy. Mercy. Not giving us what we deserve. You know, sometimes what I deserve to be a pile of ashes on the ground. I'm sorry, but that's truth, right? We fail God, we open our big mouth, we think bad thoughts, we do things we ought not do. You know, what we really deserve is poof. As you said many times, it's a good thing I'm not God. I poofed some people. I'm like, burn up, because I'm not perfect. But God, who is good all the time, He's merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Listen to this. Remember this morning, we're going to have what? We're going to live in what? Mansions, mansions. And again, Lord, please, not next to him, Cochran. Amen. We're going to live in mansions. But, it's like, do I deserve a mansion? No. Have I done anything good enough to live in a mansion? Have I done anything good enough to live forever in heaven with God? And we're talking about, you know, you say, well, I had a good day. You know, I was fishing. I enjoy fishing. It was a good day. I enjoy hunting. It was a good day. I sat in my recliner and relaxed all day. It was a good day. You know, I did my favorite hobby. That's not even close to what heaven's going to be like. And why can we experience heaven? It's because God is merciful. Wow, can you kind of see why this is a psalm of praise? God is merciful. Even on my best day, I still need mercy. Even on my best day, I still need mercy. The last blank on your outline there. The Lord is, now this is big too. All these are just like, woo, huge. The Lord is truth. Says, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. I didn't comment on the word everlasting, but it's a good thing His mercy is everlasting, because otherwise He might just change His mind. You know, I'm merciful, you got 1,000 years in, okay, go ahead, you know, but his mercy is everlasting. It will not end. And lastly, the Lord is truth. And his truth endureth to all generations. Truth. You know, I don't know, but I don't know if it's just me or not, but it seems like at least when you watch the news or interviews of people and politicians or whoever it might be, man, the truth is rare. I mean, have you noticed that? I mean, and it's no big deal to the world. You know, I mean, even if they get caught up in their lie, that what you say is 100% incorrect. It's a lie. You know, it's like people just, oh, it doesn't matter. And they keep getting elected back to Congress, and they're nothing but liars. Truth seems kind of hard to come by, doesn't it? You know, I know the author of truth. You know, we kind of talked about that this morning. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here it says, and his truth, the Lord's truth, endureth to all generations. He is not a liar. He is not an exaggerator. He is not even a white liar. He is 100% truth. And in a world like today, I'm glad that in my God, there is no untruth, if you will. There's no lying in him as his nature. But everything about him is truth. And he's always truth. Because it endureth to all generations. Again, if God said it, you can count on it. Again, back to this morning, what says, I shall come back. I shall receive you unto myself, right? So if he said it, if it's in the book, it's going to happen. And everything about God is truth. There is no untruth in him at all. So the Lord is God, sovereign God over everything. The Lord is creator. He made everything. We didn't make ourselves. Everything you see, he created. The Lord is shepherd. He will lead us. He's a good shepherd. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. Doesn't give us what we deserve. The Lord is truth always. Now, point number two. Now, point number one, that's a hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, we're here. We say God is good and everything is good. Now it gets a little bit more convicting, all right? Because it goes back to how should we respond to that? How should we respond? And on your outline in particular, I phrased it, our response should be to blank. And we're going to fill in that blanks. And just as rich and full as it describes God, it really does a pretty thorough job of telling us exactly what our responsibilities are. I mean, how should we respond to this God? You know, I really think part of the problem with Christians not responding to God the way they should because they don't have the right picture of God. I mean, our God is big. I mean, there's no way I could even come close to describing God. I can't paint you a picture, even. And I don't care who the speaker might be, the greatest orator that ever was, he could not describe God fully, because it's beyond our comprehension. Remember, the Bible says his ways are beyond our ways. His thoughts are higher than our. I mean, that really nails it. But I think a lot of people, the reason they don't, as we look at the blank, how should we respond? They don't respond the way they should because they don't have a big enough picture of God. Let me ask you, where do we get a big picture of God? The Bible. Where do we get that picture? As we read it ourselves, right? Read and study the Bible. As we come to Sunday school. And one thing I love about Sunday school is you can raise your hand and ask a question. Or you can make a point and say, well, you know what, have you ever thought about that? And it's good. And you're like, yeah, that's good. And you can say, teacher, I don't understand this. And I can say, well, I don't know the answer, but here, ask them. Maybe they know. I mean, seriously, it's a good time. And our picture of God becomes colored. You know, a lot of people, even older people now, that from what I gather, you know, these things that used to be for kids to color, now they have pictures for adults to color. And they got those little pencils, you know, colored pencils. And it's really cool. You know, they can fill in, you know. And really think of it this way. When you come to church, when you come to Sunday school, when you listen to the message, when you sing his praises, and when the men really outdo the women in that song, things like that, you're getting your colored pencil out and you're filling in a little bit of the picture of God, if you will. And even tonight, as we talk about God, you might hopefully you're breaking out two pencils tonight. Say, yeah, that's good. You know, here, and we're filling in our picture of God. And a lot of people, their picture has not got much color to it because they're not spending time to learn who God is. And I'm convinced that part of our reason that we're left in this world is to get to know God better and to glorify him in everything. And the better we know him, the better picture we get of him, the more we'll look like Jesus, and the more we'll act like Jesus, the more we'll impact the world, the more that we'll share the gospel. And it is a, you've heard of vicious cycles. This is a good cycle. The more we get to know God, the more we love him, the more we serve him, and the more we impact the world. But point number two, I don't think y'all want to be here till 10 o'clock tonight. Point number two, so how should we respond to the Lord? The first blank there is, are you ready for this? Sing. Sing. How do we respond to how good God is? This God, who the Lord who is God, creator, shepherd, good, merciful, and true. First of all, sing. Sing. You say, where's that at, preacher? I'm glad you asked that. Look at verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. Now, I'm going to say something that may surprise you. You ready for this? You sure you're ready for this? I believe you can be a horrible singer. You can be a horrible singer, but you do your best and you beller it out from your heart. And God is ever going, boy, that sounds good. But then on the other hand, you can hit every note and you can sing and you can hit the high, you can shatter glasses with your voice. But if it's not coming from the heart, the one who's off tune, making a joyful noise, is more pleasing to God than the one who hits every note right. That ought to help people that can't. I know I've talked to some people, I mean, they hate it that they can't sing. You know what I say to you? Run the race God has put before you. Obviously, God did not give you a great voice. If you feel that way, I'm not saying this one, that one, or anything. That's between you and God. But I've heard people say before, I just wish I could sing. And one of the things I'm looking for when I get to heaven, I'll be able to sing pretty. And I think you will. I think we'll lose all of our shortcomings when we get to heaven, don't you? And we'll sing pretty for the Lord. So how should we respond? We should sing. I don't understand people. I don't understand Christians who won't sing. Again, I don't get it. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how many times your neighbor looks at you and gives you a mean look because you're off key. You need to sing to the Lord. He's such a good God. And we're given opportunity in this call. You know what we call our Sunday morning service? Morning worship. You know what we call our evening service? Evening worship. Why is that? Because we're here to worship God. And I really think our church could sing out more. Really, I do. I think our church could really just beller her out. And again, whether on key, off key, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to God, as long as it's coming from a pure heart. But I don't understand. Now you say, well, I've been sick and I can't. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. I know Connie's voice. She can't sing for a while. I get that. But I just don't understand people. When we're singing praises to God as a church, you know, the corporate worship of Oak Mound sounds better when you sing, if it's coming from the heart. So I don't understand people, and I know teenagers sometimes go through a phase. We need to teach our kids and our grandkids, it's a good thing to sing. It's a good thing to sing to the Lord. You know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not, you know, you're not more macho by not singing to the Lord. We need to sing out to the Lord. So that's one way that we respond to God's goodness and all the things that he is. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Who's it to? To the Lord. Does it really matter what anybody else thinks about it? No, we're singing to the Lord. I like, someone preached a message one time, and I liked it. It said, you know, we're singing for an audience of one. Now, when we sing, it encourages, and I guarantee you, if you turn your volume up a little bit and your gusto up a little bit and it's coming from the heart, not just to be seen. Now, you can get to the point that you want to be seen. So you sing loud enough so everybody looks at you and goes, huh, you know, for attention. But if you're singing to the Lord from a pure heart, and if you sing it with a little bit more oomph, I wouldn't be surprised if your neighbor sings it a little bit more oomph. And then before you know it, the person three pews down or seats down goes, you know, I'm going to sing with a little bit more oomph. And before long, all of our congregational singing is with oomph. Wouldn't that be good, Jason, if everybody sung with oomph? That'd be good. We sing. But then it goes on. It says in verse 2, it says, the latter part of verse 2, it says, come before his presence with what?
Singing.
Is the Lord in our midst when we're singing to him? The Lord's always with us, right? So when we come together as a church and we sing, the Lord is there listening. And it says, come before his presence with singing. You say, preacher, wouldn't you like to see God on his throne when we sing? Absolutely. You know, wouldn't it be cool? I mean, we're just sitting there singing. We're singing, oh, victory in Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the roof just kind of does this. This is a removable roof, isn't it? What's that? With a little effort. I mean, wouldn't it really be cool when we shower down, we're singing to God's glory, we're praising him, the roof would open up and we see God on his throne. Wouldn't that be cool? But it's another one of those things by faith. He's listening. He's on his throne. He's in our midst. It says, come before his presence with singing, right? So that means he's there. How should we respond? First of all, we should sing. The second set of blanks there, serve with a smile. Smile. Let me make sure your smile's still working. Yeah, most of them are. Some of them are out of order. Not working quite right, that's what I mean. All right, at verse 2, it says, we should serve with a smile. It says... Right after it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. With gladness. You know, this time of year, as we look to ask officers if they're willing to stay in the position they're in, or ask some people, are you willing to come on this or do this or that or the other? Now, ultimately, that's between you and God. Ultimately. You don't want to be in a position that God does not want you in. But you know what? We should serve God with gladness. And when you get asked to do something, you should be glad to do it if God wants you to do it. Does that make sense? You know, and I'm thankful for this church. And I'd say for the most part, and I'd give you an A-plus rating since I've been here. Typically, people in this church are willing to serve God. And they do it gladly. It's not like, you know, I text them sometime. I mean, we're in a texting world, so some people, the best way to reach them is texting. I know some of us old timers, you know, more used to the phone and all that. But so, you know, I try to go between the two, but I text and sometimes I'll ask them. And, you know, more than not, when I text somebody, you know, are you willing to do this or talk to them on the phone? Anyway, yeah, be glad to. That's the way we should be. I mean, just think about it. You mean I get an opportunity to help with crafts at Vacation Bible School to serve the Lord? I should be tickled pink over that. I should be so happy and glad and say, whoa, I get a chance to do that? Now, not everybody in every church does that. But I'm thankful that, as far as I know, I'd give you all an A-plus rating. The real kicker might be, I'm saying yes on the outside, but on the inside, I really don't want to do this. I'm not sure that's gladness, but really what ought to happen, what you're saying on the outside ought to match on the inside, and you decide, I'm going to serve God with a smile, and I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. You know, let me ask you this. When we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, wouldn't it be something if Jesus looked us in the eye and said, you know one thing about you, and fills in your name, one thing about you, you served me with gladness. And when you could do it, and I told you to do it, you did it. and you didn't have a grudge, you didn't come with an attitude, you wasn't complaining left and right, you just said, Lord, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. Wouldn't that be quite a commendation from the Lord? Serve with a smile. How should we respond to this Lord? Sing, serve with a smile. Third, remember who we belong to. Remember who we belong to. Look at verse 3. It says, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are whose people? His people. His people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Holy Ghost? It says, basically, and you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, everything about us belongs to the Lord. That's who we belong to. I may have not quoted that exactly right, but that's pretty close. But the idea is we belong to the Lord. And as I've said many times, when you came down the aisle, wherever you came down the aisle, or wherever you prayed at your coffee table or next to your recliner, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior, what you were doing, as I related this morning, that's a commitment. And you said, you know what? I belong to Jesus. Really, we can't call our own shots anymore. We shouldn't, right? Remember who we belong to. It says we are His people. You know, wouldn't it be something? Now, when you worked, or now when you work, wouldn't it be something if you come up to your boss? And maybe your boss's 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 boss. I mean, way up there. And you just decide that you're going to go up and you're going to tell them what you're going to do that day. And you're going to tell them everything you disagree with. And you're going to tell them everything you don't like about the job. And you're going to tell them how you're going to spend your day today. Let me tell you something. Probably what's going to happen, it's called insubordination, right? Because you got to understand who the boss is. A lot of the problems in our churches today, a lot of the problems with Christians today, they don't know who the boss is, or they want to conveniently forget who the boss is. If you're a child of God, we're not calling our shots anymore. We got to remember who we belong to when we make decisions. Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I belong to you. I'm not going to do anything to mess up your will for my life. Don't you think that's a legitimate response to a God like we have? To say, Lord, I want to remember who I belong to. You know, I pray that quite often. Lord, help us to remember who we belong to. And that's not just for people in the pews. That's a person behind the pulpit. I need to remember who I belong to. How should we respond? Sing, serve with a smile, remember who we belong to. Number four is follow. Follow. We should follow. Y'all played that game, Follow the Leader, right? Yeah. You ever played that game, Simon Says? And if Simon doesn't say it, you don't do it. Well, if God doesn't say it, you don't do it. Right? You say, where's that at in this passage? Well, in verse 3, it says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, we talked about having a shepherd, but again, that makes us sheep. What do sheep do to the shepherd? They follow the shepherd. We need to follow Him. You know, can I say this? We follow as close to the shepherd as we want to follow. You say, preacher. I seem distant away from God. I don't feel as close to Him as I used to be, you might say. Can I tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God didn't move? Can I tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, if there's a distance between you and God, you're the one that's moved. You're as close to the shepherd as you want to be. That's convicting, isn't it? And again, that's not just, it's like, wow, Could I be closer to following the shepherd? Yep. But I think that's a very legitimate response to such a good God. Follow. Follow close. Number five, there, E. The fifth response would to be, would to be thankful. Be thankful goes in the blank. Be thankful. Verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with what? A complaining attitude. Enter into his gate. Now, they said that this is kind of like, you know, a progression into the gates of Jerusalem, because cities had gates. And then it says, and into his courts, that would be in the temple. So basically, as they're going to worship God, they're being thankful. I'm sure no one would ever fit into this category, but, oh, man, I don't want to get up on Sunday morning. Where's my cup of coffee? Where's my cup of tea? We should, and a lot of these things are kind of interrelated, intertwined, but we should be thankful that we have the freedom to worship God. We should be thankful that he invites our presence to come and worship him. We should be thankful that we have a church that we can come and with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to worship God. And you can worship God at home too. I'm not saying you can't. But you know, what we ought to do whenever we enter the presence of God, we should be thankful. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Be thankful. I'm convinced that every single one of us could be more thankful. I mean, without exception. I tell you what we let happen, and I do it. You got 100 things that are great. You have 2 or 3 that's and then you may have 1 or 2 that's really bad. And we let those few at the top dominate our life. And then we go around and we're grumpy and we're grouchy. And we're not thankful. And we're like, God, oh, the one in the world, you're putting me through this. Oh, the one in the world, this has got to happen. Really, what we ought to be doing is remembering the 100 things that are good. I mean, that's just something to do with human nature. And I'm not saying that it's not a natural part of who we are, but I think we need to get beyond that and realize what a God we have, what a future we have, what a purpose we have, and be thankful regardless of how bad something might look at the moment. It's almost like everything that's good is way out there, but everything that's bad is just right here. So we lose our gratitude. Last response, how should we respond to this, Lord? Praise, praise, praise. It says, we read it there a moment ago, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We covered that. And into his courts with what? Praise. And then it says, as you read on, be thankful unto him and bless his name. You know, praise, our God is so praiseworthy. You say, preacher, I just don't know what to praise God for. Well, you could praise him for being God. You could praise him for being creator. You could praise him for being shepherd. You could praise him for being good. You could praise him for being merciful. You could praise him for being all truth. I just realized one disadvantage of giving you a handout. When I fill in all the blanks, everybody stops. Zips up their Bible, and they're ready to go home. Not quite. Not quite. How should we respond to this, Lord? We should sing. We should serve with a smile. We should remember who we belong to. We should follow. We should be thankful. And we should praise him. If there should be anyone here tonight, if there should be anyone listening in by live stream tonight, can I encourage you? Our God is such a good God. Our God loves us so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. His son, his only son, to die on the cross. To pay for our sins and then to pay our sin debt and then resurrected back to life. And if you're lost, all you have to do, it's simple. You just got to mean it from your heart. You go to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, come into my heart. Be my Savior. I believe Jesus was your son who died for me on the cross as the perfect sacrifice and came back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior. Now, there's nothing magical in his words. I say it different probably every time I say it, a little bit, because there's nothing magical about those words. It's the heart. It's having that belief. So if you're, wherever you might be, you may be in your favorite recliner, and you've never done that, you're not saved. He said, I used to go to church. Well, if you've not done that, you're not saved. You say, I come to church every once in a while now even. Well, if you've not done what I talked about, calling out to the Lord to save you, you're not saved. I'd encourage you to do that. Wherever you are, call out to the Lord in prayer and ask him to save you. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. I'd encourage you to do that tonight. But a lot of what we talked about deals with Christians. Can I tell you that God has met his requirements 100% perfect? His job evaluation, if you will, A++++++++. You know, when I was in school, best you could do was 4.0. Now, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I've heard some pretty high. 5.0? Wow, they've added a whole point in there. Well, let me tell you, our God's got a 5.0 GPA. So he's done his part. But guess what? We need to do our part. And I mean this, the person you're looking at has not done his part 100% best he could. And the people I'm looking at have probably not done their 100% best as they should. To sing, to serve with a smile, to remember who he belonged to follow him closely, I might add, to be thankful in all things, and to praise the Lord. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Again, the Lord has done his part perfectly. How are you doing on your part? At singing to the Lord, serving the Lord with a smile, remembering who you belong to, everywhere you are, not just in church, following him closely, being thankful to him through everything, and praising his name. Praising his name. How are you doing in those areas? Is there one of those areas in particular, or maybe you could just say, Lord, help me do my part. Would you take a moment, if God is speaking to your heart, would you say, Lord, help me to do my part. Help me to respond to you the way I should. If you want to be as specific as you can, in the silence of the moment, if you would do that. Every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you, has God spoken to your heart tonight about our response to our God who is so good? And did you pray to him tonight that you would do better in those areas? If that's you and you did that tonight as a testimony to the Lord, would you raise your hand up real high? Say, God spoke to my heart tonight and I prayed that I'd respond as he would want me to. God bless you. Thank you for those hands. God bless you. Let me remind you, as we sing a song here in a moment, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, no better place, no better time than to be saved tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's hard for us to comprehend how good you are. And Lord, all the things we've talked about you tonight, Lord, you are a perfect God. Lord, help us to do better from our part and respond in the way we should to the perfect God that you are. Lord, we love and thank you. Bless in the invitation, Lord, if anyone feels the urge to come to the altar. Lord, I pray that they'll do so. Anyone here that needs to be saved will come forward and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. Anyone listening in tonight who may not be saved, may they call out to you and ask you, Lord, to save them and to forgive them of their sins, we pray. Lord, the invitation is yours. We commit it to you in Jesus' name.